May God be with you. Welcome to church. It's warmer in here than out there, and we're glad you're here. The service today is the Holy Eucharist. As always, we welcome everyone who would like to do so to come forward and have the bread and the wine. You're most welcome here in this church. We stay afterwards in this space for a time of hospitality and refreshments, and we invite you to stay for that as well. My name is Gary. I'm the rector of the parish. I'll be doing the sermon today, and Alan will be presiding at the Eucharist.
Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Lecture du livre du prophète Isaïe. Mais ce n'est plus l'obscurité pour le pays qui était dans l'angoisse. Dans un premier temps, le Seigneur a couvert d'opprobre le pays de Zabulon et le pays de Naphtali. Mais ensuite, il a couvert de gloire la route de la mer, l'au-delà du Jourdain et le district des nations. Le peuple qui marchait dans les ténèbres a vu une grande lumière. Sur ceux qui habitaient le pays de l'ombre, une lumière a resplendi. Tu as fait abonder leur allégresse. Tu as fait grandir leur joie. Ils se réjouissent devant toi comme on se réjouit à la moisson, comme on jubile au partage du butin. Car le joug qui pesait sur lui, le bâton à son épaule, le gourdin de son chef de corvée, tu les as brisés comme au jour de Madian. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you. We ask God with every generation to make it so. Amen. This week is designated the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. It's an annual observance, but I expect many of you are hearing of it for the first time as I tell you now. It's put on by an organization called the World Council of Churches. And again, maybe this is the first time you're hearing of that organization, the World Council of Churches. This week, I heard about the prayer for the week of prayer for Christian Unity, the church service for it, on the day of. And so I did not have time to go to this prayer for Christian Unity. And I found myself wondering, you know, is it that we undersell the wonderful things we do, or that we're just an overstimulated society where it's hard to get the information out about many wonderful things that happen? And maybe it's some of both, but this is something that's worth knowing more about, this Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. It was created by the World Council of Churches, and the World Council of Churches has been around for a long time. It was founded in 1948 with significant Anglican leadership from the Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple. He was later made the Archbishop after he was instrumental in helping to design the structure of the World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches has 350 church denominations and represents 580 million Christians in countries around the world. The World Council of Churches practices what is called appreciative ecumenism. Appreciative meaning we don't all have the right way and we're going to tell you, you got to do it our way. We're going to appreciate each other's ways. And ecumenism is simply the word for relationships between churches, but it comes from the Greek word for household. Oikumene is the Greek word for household, and it's where we also get our word economics. So appreciative ecumenism is appreciating that all the churches together form a household that belongs to God. A number of wonderful initiatives have come out of the World Council of Churches, including initiatives for peace and justice, and member churches of the World Council worked together to create the 3-year schedule of readings that so many churches use, including ours. The World Council of Churches encourages dialogues between church denominations to develop where we can be united. So if you've wondered why we pray for the Lutherans and the Moravians especially, it is because the World Council of Churches has encouraged us in dialogue and we have found ourselves in agreement with each other and we support each other. The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity was actually founded in 1908 by the Roman Catholic Church, and then the World Council of Churches joined in co-sponsoring in 1948. They have an annual worship service of prayer for Christian unity that focuses on one particular church in the year where it's held. So this year, the focus was on the church in Armenia. And all around the world, people have focused on this church and followed this particular service and prayed for the Christians in Armenia. So as I said, I did not hear about this until the day of, and so I went looking for the program to see what they did at this service. And in fact, the timing is perfect with our reading for today. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians starts, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." You know, you only have to write that if there is an agreement, right? And there are many texts in the New Testament that urge agreement. And if you know there are going to be 580 denominations, the reality is there was disagreement that caused that. So this was not the reading they used, because there are so many other choices. They used another passage about unity from the letter to the Ephesians. And that letter purports to be from the Apostle Paul, but many think that it was written by one of his successors in his name to address the lack of unity in the church in Ephesus. And by later in the first century, it wasn't just mostly Jewish Christians and a few Gentiles. It was kind of half and half, and so there were conflicts in that congregation, and thus an appeal to unity in the name of Jesus. Now, you may not realize that you know the letter to the Ephesians, but you actually do, because we quote from it every time we say, "Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine." As we will do at the end of this service, that phrase comes from chapter 3. The phrase that the Prayer for Christian Unity service used is from chapter 4, and I'm going to read two parts of it. The beginning, "You were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." And then at the end of that reading is this: "Jesus himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of faith." So there's a really interesting word. I don't do this often, but there's a Greek word in here that I'd like you to know about. The word is katartizo. And it is that phrase, to equip. To equip the saints is this Greek word katartizo. And in its meaning, it is to perfect, to strengthen, to fix, to prepare, to bring back to a functional state, to restore, to train. When I think of our church events, we had an introduction to the Bible as our learning session yesterday. Last week we had on one about prayer. A lot of our focus in the programming of our church is about equipping the saints. It's about katartizo. It's about this Greek word. But there's an ingenious connection. I really appreciate the World of Council of Churches for using this text, because this word katartizo comes up in our gospel reading today. It is the same word for James and John mending their nets. Equipping and mending are the same Greek word. And so there are James and John mending their nets with their father in the boat, and they are, by the same definition, they are perfecting, they are strengthening, they are fixing, they are preparing, they're bringing back to a functional state, and they are called by Jesus to leave and follow him. Now, if you were listening in that reading, there were Peter and Andrew who were called to go fish for people. And we know that's a metaphor, right? You fish for fish, and then to go fish for people. If you analyze it too closely, the metaphor is problematic, right? Because we catch fish, and what do we stun them? We cut them open. We eat them. Mending, though, is a great way to think about our calling. It is an expansion from this word of fixing a net into mending lives, mending situations, mending where there's trouble. If you picture James and John mending, they would have had the right tools to do so. They were not going to waste their nets. They were going to use what was already there and make it better. Now, I have to distinguish this from the modern practice of fishing, because when they recover waste plastic in the oceans, maybe you've seen pictures of it, a lot of it is discarded fish nets. So it's a very different in our modern practice of fishing. But James and John are called to take the practical physical mending and go out, expanding the metaphor, into the mending of the world. The mending of broken people. We sing a hymn like, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" to put ourselves into the picture, as also called. What would be involved in Jesus calling you to mend? Maybe you would need your own healing to happen so that you can do that. You might need to be mended, even as you're trying to help in the mending of the world. There might be the source of you being mended. You might need equipping in the Ephesian sense of how the word is used. You might need equipping, ways that prepare you, that strengthen you. I'll just wait till you got it. So about mending, let's bring our minds back to the mending that we each need. Thank you, Bill. As God mends us, maybe what happens is we each share that love of God, possibly unconsciously, just by being the loving person that you are. You don't have to say anything other than be the loving, joyful person you are, the courageous person you are. And people receive that. And it's a blessing to them. Or maybe consciously, maybe there are ways and skills and practices that would help you to join in the mending of the world. I want to come back to our church. We've, as I mentioned, had two learning sessions, one about prayer and one about reading the Bible. And I want to acknowledge Barbara Durrell and Gloria Fox, who helped with the session on prayer, and Aaron Biggs, who helped with the session on the Bible. We were all co-leaders. I hope we were mending and equipping, and the feedback we received was positive and welcome, that this is something that helped people to know their faith and to feel joyful about their faith. This week I had breakfast with the clergy of our neighbor churches, First Baptist, Knox Presbyterian, and St. Teresa's, and I said, how about we do a joint children's service? So they're going to come. We're going to have all of our children together. Little bits of chipping away at the hardness of life. We're mending. When I look at the news, though, I feel very small about how we mend. You know, when you think of those two people in Minneapolis who died, Renee Good and Alex Preti, two 37-year-old good people, no major media covered the huge church gatherings where they came to sing and pray. People shared that only on their social media. But we should know they did that. We should know they came together to sing. We should know they came together because they want to mend the fissures of brokenness that they are now experiencing. And maybe our mending would be to keep on praying for them. I started by saying maybe you haven't heard of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And is it that we undersell, or we're just too busy to share good news? Maybe we undershare. Maybe we can get past the noise of so much activity going on around us and say to God, I want to join this mending that you want for us. Maybe it's a better image for our time than the gutting of those fish. That we mend our personal story of our life journey, come to terms with the things that were hard, mend our relationships, mend understandings that no longer serve us as they once did. So that as you leave our gathering today, you will have more of an impact, more of a contribution, some of it unconscious by being joyful and courageous you, but some of it because you have prepared yourself and chosen to be in the long line of those Jesus called. Amen.
Thank you. us pray. Lord God, we gather together today to offer up a prayer from amidst a frozen landscape. From a land of deep darkness, we come looking for a great light. Lord, our homes shield us against the winter, and yet there are so many for whom our society has denied this protection. We pray for all those who are without shelter on these freezing nights. Open pathways for warmth and belonging for these, your sons and daughters. Be for them a stronghold. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing. For us, the words of the prophet Isaiah are a prefiguring, a premonition of your coming in the person of Christ. In this mystery, your power appears to us, working across time. And in your gospel presence, you challenge us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Lord, show us your mercy in our repentance. In a city where those denied shelter face death by freezing, in a world in the throes of hatred and tyranny, forgive us our trespasses. Guide our grasping hands to the kingdom drawing near. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing. Your promise, from the Exodus from Egypt to the prophets and down through the Incarnation, rings out throughout Holy Scripture. The yoke of burden, the bar across our shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken. You promise us liberation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This week in Minneapolis, Alex Preti was held to the ground and murdered by masked agents of the state. We live in a time of oppression, violence, and tyranny, a time of great pain. Whom shall I fear? We pray for all those who show courage in the face of oppression. May we see liberation in our time. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing. Your cross is foolishness to the wise, defies discernment. Paul wrote that he proclaimed the gospel not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Guide us into this mystery of the cross, Lord, that we might know its power. We do not gather here seeking understanding or belief. No, we seek your face. With the psalmist, we cry out, "Do not hide your face from us." Hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord God, in this space we lift up our prayers for one another. We are so grateful for the community that you've provided for us, for the people who figure in our lives and make them full and significant. We pray especially for Lewis, Ian, Alice, and the family of Maura Breacher. We pray for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Nick, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Aout, Monica, Barb, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for those who have gone from among us, John, Paul, and Erica, in whose honor the flowers were given by their family. And we offer thanks for lives well lived. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Go in peace.